She's running a hospital. So the service has been received, but they're not saving. They get knocked down like deep in her home and providing care for her to my last breath. I can't do it by myself. I still need the help. And if you're at home, when you realize you can't do it by yourself, I'm a dad. I'm supposed to take care of her. And, this room is actually going on the family of seniors. This is the first part of this one topic. The agency that provides service to your kids, haven't received a raise in about 4 or 5 years. It's extremely difficult for agencies to recruit and retain direct service providers that have any kind of dark house. And it's really hard to get someone to take care of someone that needs the care of my dog and this. And so when you think about me having to tell that provider that you lose the next few hours, that's your job. I'm not going to do it with you. Yeah, I'm very grateful for the services that were provided. I'm lucky to be in Alaska. I'm disappointed that she didn't title to these services. I was told many years ago by someone who mentioned that I'm not title to that. It's going to the welfare program. I haven't escaped this at $20 billion in the bank, and that we can be very citizen for money every year. And I think that we have an obligation to take care of our most fragile population. Even like my daughter. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to our testimony today.
Thank you, Mr. Hoff. Before you leave us, does anybody have any questions about the hospital? Thank you. So, were you given any reason for why her hours were reduced from 56 to 23?
Yeah, they changed the rules. I received a 64-page document, okay, 64 pages, better than that. I don't work in that business, But it did give me a salary to repeat a service that they changed, that some of them were support services, and something else, And in fact, one of the ridiculous things is that position, my position turned in 12 times a day, because of my daughter, 50, 60 times a day. My wife and I stay in the room with her, but it couldn't tell too much of. I set my alarm from midnight to the morning, 4 in the morning, and 6 in the morning when I tried to get up that often and start getting in position. And it's a very severe disorder. I'm just trying to keep her alive. She'll never go to an institution or a guy right now. She'll never go to one of those places. My daughter will never spend one day. Institution as long as I'm alive. But I'm old guy. And my days are numbered, so I'm worried about her future and what's going to happen to her if something happens to me or my wife. Thank you.
I picked up the character about that. I'm very interested. You said that there are 730 people that are on the wait list. I was being in the wait list for home and community based services.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for your presentation today. We also have Kristen Bannigwith, the executive director for the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education, and several additional presenters that you might want to come forward. There's not some record of making that presentation. Hello, everyone. This is Kim Pendergast, Executive Director of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. I'd like to say it's great to hear about the role and the So with that, I have a question start by talking about the development of disability insurance vision and why that's important to us.
As President said, my name is Corey Goldman. I'm the chair of the Governance Council, and I'm really honored to be here once again in front of you. And I claim to say thank you, because one of the things that the legislature did in 2018 and passed the insurance vision, which changed the way kind of care and services are delivered. You spend a lot of time before the decision, you spend a lot of time in meetings where people say what it is, figure out what was best for Dory. The 5 minutes before the meeting of the labs, they would come to me and say, you know what would you like to work on this year?
Thank you. We're here to talk with you about the and we're not asking for anything. We're asking because we need to be on our progress and asking for your support in a lot of areas to support the decision making and bring that back with the bill by the very legislator who had it all in 2018, November 2018. That allowed as an option for guardianship. Guardianship directs a person's life, makes decisions for them. Where the support decision making and being a part of the SDMA allows a person to be heard through the chair and with the help of supporters. And basically, this agreement formalizes the relationship between the supporters and the individual leading in support. It clarifies what the responsibilities are, who makes the decision. It's an important piece in the PDA in that it puts the individual in the driver's seat. They're no longer just riding along in the passenger. They're making choices and decisions that direct in the way that you have your life is spent. My son is one of them in February of last year. They did a support decision making agreement. And we do that very effectively. And that actually helped entertain employment. And I really appreciate the fact that people can pass that forward. And there's information that will be given to you. If they find any help or support putting out the word that this act is out there will be a great process for people to make it.
And that position, which Corey will be sharing with you, is an addressed to the community-based services in our cross-living future.
I don't know if it's all right, but I have a disability. What's not obvious is that that means there's a lot of things I can't do. I can't take flowers independently. I can't get on the bike independently. I can't even get my friends on the downhill. Things like that. Which I gotta tell you, that's an interesting spin-off, isn't it? So, but I realize it's so much better because we have support. Now, we don't have support, but we have support. The support we have led us to be in the community, and all of our community. We volunteer, work on preschool, working with kiddos with special needs. To teach them that it's okay to be different. We couldn't do that without support. And the support that we receive has made us an institutional mother here of us. It's actually about 2.5 times less, which is such a tremendous honor. You would never think that high. services are available now and in the future.
Thank you, Corey. Our final and fourth question is in regards to our community services efficiencies. So stakeholders came together, no way to look at some. Some service on their voices don't change, and that may help save some money and be able to keep using any of services. So again, I just want to share some of the leadership piece.
So again, we're here to help, to work with the state to come up with solutions for all problems that are out there. One of the things we've talked about is removing barriers. I'm not just here with Galician. There's a lot of applications, and there's a lot of reporting. There's just a lot of paperwork involved with people who have disabilities. There are annual reports, annual evaluations that have to be made. And people who are on their stakeholders have not all the disabilities. It's not like a medical division that's going to get better and change the issue on. So we don't see here this just any. A lot of good use of resources for the state. Continually to fill out the reports and tracking the progress on the sort of conditions in the state and the change. We would like to work with the state to try to alleviate some of that and maybe you know, find a better way to develop the information. We would like to support a task force on employment for persons with disabilities because one of the regulations is that a person who has supported employment and wants to work outside of that. The support employer waiver does not support transportation. The person is restricted to very limited for where they can work. If we were to work and have it on transportation, we somehow have to put it in that. But we have all more options than being also canceled. The state would be highest. That to better help our people working, less people on other types of benefits. The second thing we talked about is really how much is your cost. And bureaucracy by a lot of cultural persons as well. We have a long list of things here to go through. And one of them, it's cropping up in consumable materials. Several of our members have got us out that things like diapers and that sort of thing, you have to go to an authorized Medicaid agency in order to obtain that. Your substantial cost is not possible, so it's pretty rigid. But that will open up some time to be able to buy those savings, that things, whatever happens, and some of the crop patterns will be just Amazon. If they deliver those kind of things, it can reduce the cost for the people involved, reduce the cost of the people. Using flexible systems is one of the options rather than maybe it's just an option in place now. We need to increase savings on food donation or the module for people who already have an individual developmental disability waiver to work closely directly with services that they have tied in with the DD vision. Right now, in the state of Alaska, we have some different caps in mind to the demonstration up here, different buckets of waivers and life support of employment, data implementation, supported living, resident services. All of these are addressed separately. You're going to combine those all into one bucket to allow the person with direct air care to hear out these things on other platforms that you're all talking about, as long as they stay within their annual budget. That would make a lot more sense. And again, they can rent the services and customize it to their own needs rather than what others think they may need, which is often not correct. And the last one we'd like to look at the companion services. That was talked about in the 2018 service hours. The Human Rights Center instructed DHSS to include those companion services. DHS was working on it, and we were looking at the arguments on that. Companion services are extremely important. It's a low-cost way to help a person get out of the community and socialize. It's just a great example of my son who got companion services, or it was called winter services, several years ago in the DD grant that no longer exists. He was able to have a mentor come take care of his home 3 times a week. He was socializing and learning things. He was progressing. We also had that services. changes can help these people.
Thank you. If you do your presentation, your beer do you contain blood butter? Are there any quick questions for doctors? And I would like to refer to your blood butter to the paradigm set 324. That's an intro.
Thank you. I'm just wondering on if you were acting against earlier recommendations. I don't know if I had a bunch of blood develops that we've been on the first line. I'm just curious, this is something that's been brought to my attention before, but do you envision a circumstance where if there were a need for increased sense services that could even be initiated by the consumer themselves? And so the consumer would have an opportunity to initiate a review if you needed to make a change, but otherwise then you would, sort of like annually renew, if you will. Is that kind of what you're thinking?
I think so. There's no usually plan of care. And all of that changes,
thank you so much for presenting before our committee today, and we'll admit that a little bit as we deal with our subcommittees and our subcommittees that are overlapping. But thank you for coming in. Before we turn our attention to budget subcommittee, I'd like to remind the committee that the planning committee meeting will take place on Thursday, February 13th at 3 p.m. We will be hearing an update on Alaska's response to the preparedness to the coronavirus from Dr. Burns and the Chief Medical Officer from the Department of Health and Human Services. At 3:30, we will take a brief recess to do some of those items of the budget subcommittee, and immediately afterwards, we will resume to hear from Alaska Children's Justice Act Task Force. The time is 3:37 p.m. and this hearing will end.